It's 11 a.m. on my watch. Thank you for joining me. I'm Jose Barraza on your campus radio, KWL Pacific University. Today's guest is known for her activist work for farm workers and their families. Dolores Huerta is one of the founders of the United Farm Workers Union. She was instrumental in the passage of important legislation and successfully negotiating many different contracts for farm workers. Dolores worked closely with Cesar Chavez for 30 years until his death. They both founded the Robert Kennedy Medical Plan, the Juan de la Cruz Farm Workers Pension Fund, and the Farm Workers Credit Union. They also formed the National Farm Workers Service Center, which provides affordable housing as well as educational radio with several Spanish-speaking stations. She is one of my personal heroes. Welcome, Dolores. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much. I'm really excited to be here, too.
All right. For those who don't know, let's start in the beginning. What was your childhood like?
Well, I was born in 1930 in a small town called Dawson in New Mexico. At the time, my father, Juan, was a seasonal farm worker and miner. My parents got divorced when I was only 3 years old, so I was basically raised by my mother, Alicia. My two brothers and I moved to Stockton, California, with my mother, who worked as a cook in two different restaurants. She eventually purchased her own hotels and a restaurant. Because my mother worked so much to support us, my grandfather Herculano took care of us a lot. We lived in one of my mother's hotels, and we would clean the rooms and help my mom rent them out. My mother was a great role model. She often helped farm workers by letting them stay at her hotel for free. She also really appreciated the arts. She made sure we saw symphonies and plays, even though she couldn't go with us because she had to work. I took piano, violin, and dance lessons. My mom really showed me the importance of community activism.
All right. Speaking of community activism, how did you first get involved, Dolores?
Well, my first experience was as a Girl Scout. My troop and I were very involved in the community in many different ways. We worked on many projects, including fundraising, to support the USO during World War II. After high school, I attended college and received my teaching license. I taught grammar school, but I couldn't stand seeing farm worker children come to class hungry and in need of shoes. I thought I could do more by organizing their parents than by trying to teach their hungry children. So in 1955, I became a founding member of the Stockton chapter of the Community Service Organization, or the CSO. During my work with this grassroots organization, I really wanted to focus my efforts on the needs of farm workers, so I started the Agricultural Workers Association, or AWA, in 1960. I lobbied in San Francisco for their rights, and my first big success was getting citizenship requirements for pension and public assistance programs removed, and disability insurance for farm workers instated. I also helped with legislation allowing voting to be completed in Spanish, as well as driver's license tests to be given in the person's native language. I lobbied against the terrible Bracero labor program and helped secure aid for dependent families for the unemployed and underemployed.
Dolores, how did you begin to work with Cesar Chavez?
Well, I met Cesar through the CSO founder, Fred Ross. He recruited and trained us both. We both realized what dire conditions the farm workers were under, and we knew we had to do something about it. Because the CSO denied our request to organize farm workers, we both resigned in order to focus mainly on this community. It was kind of a crazy thing for me to do at the time, actually, being divorced with seven kids. My family and I joined Cesar and his family in Delano, California, where we started the National Farm Workers Association, which would later become the United Farm Workers Union.
Dolores, you have done a lot of major things throughout your life, but what do you feel is your major contributions to farm workers and their families?
Well, in 1965, we voted to join in on a strike against the corporate grape industry, which lasted for 5 long years. As a negotiator, I worked on many different contracts for farm workers that established the first medical and pension benefits, as well as safety plans. I spoke out against toxic pesticides that threatened farm workers, consumers, and of course the environment. In 1974, I also helped secure unemployment benefits for farm workers. Later in the 80s, I lobbied against federal guest worker programs and worked to get legislation that granted amnesty for farm workers that had lived, worked, and paid taxes in the U.S. for many years, but were still not considered citizens. The result was the Immigration Act of 1985, where 1,400,000 farm workers received amnesty. Cesar and I worked together for over 30 years until his unfortunate death in 1993, a day that I will never forget.
We know that you received many awards for your amazing work. Tell us about them.
Well, I was lucky enough to receive the Puffin Foundation Nation Institute Award for Creative Citizenship in 2002, which amazingly gave me a $100,000 grant to start my dream, the Dolores Huerta Foundation's Organizing Institute. I was given the Outstanding Labor Leader Award in 1984 by the California State Senate, as well as was inducted into the Nation Women's Hall of Fame in 1993. More recently, in 1998, President Clinton gave me the U.S. Presidential Eleanor D. Roosevelt Human Rights Award, someone I definitely look up to. Oddly enough, there are several schools named after me in California, Texas, and even one in Colorado.
Because a lot of families, workers' families move around so often, educators are now playing a huge role in these children's lives. What do you think teachers need to understand in order to help farm worker children learn? And how can we help them gain that confidence in their education, Dolores?
They really need to understand that these children are very intelligent, even though they don't speak English. If you don't speak Spanish, you need to get an assistant who does. It's very difficult now for Latino children who don't speak English in California and other states that have eliminated bilingual education. The children will learn English eventually, but if they are made to feel guilty for speaking Spanish, that leaves a terrible mark that's very hard to get over. They shouldn't be made to feel inferior. They should be proud of their parents. Farm workers do the most important work in the world. They feed the nation. I often ask people, if you had to be on a deserted island, like on Survivor, whom would you take with you, a farm worker or a lawyer? And the second person I would take would be a teacher.
This is just a great conversation that we're having, but I would like to open it up to the callers out there. So let's take the first call. Caller, you're on with Dolores Huerta.
Good morning, Jose. Love the show. I'm a first-time caller, long-time listener. I have a question for Dolores. Was there a time in your life that you felt what you wanted was impossible or it required too much out of you?
Well, there were many hard times when I felt like I couldn't make a difference. When I was 25, trying to lobby at the state capitol, when I was one of the first women to do so, let alone a woman of color, was pretty scary. Many of our marches and protests resulted in arrests and some violence. And doing all of this, trying to raise 7 kids by myself, was also extremely difficult and sometimes seemed impossible.
All right, well, thank you so much. All right, let's go to our second and last caller.
Hi, Dolores. I'm so excited I get to talk to you. I was just wondering, what's happening in the movement today?
Well, if you look at what the situation is like today, you have a lot of farm worker groups that are organizing. You have different people in places all over the country, like Florida, Oregon, and New York. And so you have a lot of different movements going on at the same time. I think the racism of the growers is still very strong, and that they will continue to do everything that they can to make sure the workers don't get organized. So it is still going to be a very long struggle, and we have a lot of work left to do.
All right, well, thank you so much, Dolores. Unfortunately, we're running out of time, but thanks for being on the show. The impact of your life is felt all over the country. You have been instrumental in changing so many lives for the better. At the age of 77, you show no sign of slowing down either. You still serve as the president of the Dolores Huerta Foundation, as well as leading the Organizing Institute. Also, you travel around the U.S. speaking at colleges and organizations in support of La Causa. Keep doing the work that you're doing, and thank you for being here with me and my listeners.
Thank you so much, Jose. I really appreciated you having me on the show, and I had a great time.
This podcast was created as a response to a project where we researched someone who impacted the field of social justice. We felt Dolores Huerta has made a major impact in the world. Personally, the 1985 Immigration Act gave an opportunity for my father to be considered a part of this country, since he was living here since the late 70s and paying taxes but was not considered a legal resident. In 2004, I got to meet Dolores in Las Vegas, and to meet her was a great experience, especially when you know that person is part of U.S. history.